And welcome to a very special edition of the Pacific Rim Pro Wrestling Podcast, the podcast that takes you from Seattle to Tokyo and all points throughout history. Not that all shows aren't special, but this one is extra special. I'm Jim Valley. I am always in the Seattle area, longtime broadcaster and a wrestling fan, as you know. And we go across the Pacific Ocean to the Pacific Rim to Tokyo, Japan, and Japan's leading wrestling journalist, author, historian, broadcaster, Fumi Saito.
Hello from Tokyo. How are you?
Good. So, Fumi, you, we're talking, it's just been a couple of hours since New Japan held its press conference for Wrestle Kingdom 13, and you were at the press conference.
Press conference, yes.
Now, I watched a little bit of it on YouTube. I didn't realize YouTube, I could watch the live stream, so I watched about half of the live stream. So I've seen some of it, but not all of it. But you were there.
I was there.
And unlike last year's press conference, no one told you to write anything down. No one said, Fumi Saito, you write this down, like Chris Jericho did.
That was funny.
Yeah.
That was last year. Whoa, time flies.
Isn't that crazy?
One year ago, huh?
That's crazy. I mean, to put it in perspective, I mean, we talked about this a little bit on the last show, but I mean, Jay White as Switchblade has only been around like a year. He went from power struggle to power struggle. And, you know, now here he is, one of the announcements that they made, and not really a surprise, and probably the purpose of the press conference, Jay White against Okada at Wrestle Kingdom 13 at the Tokyo Dome.
Special single match. Not a title match. But the top card, obviously, Kenny Omega against Tanahashi, IWGP Heavyweight Championship. That's the main event. And the double main event, IWGP Intercontinental Title Match, champion Chris Jericho against Tetsuya Naito. And the third from top, but the third from top is still a very important card, Kazuchika Okada against Switchblade Jay White, single match. So having seen, you know, Jay White participate in third from top single match at the Tokyo Dome, huge elevation, don't you think?
Yeah, and you know, we've talked about Jay White and sort of our thoughts on him, kind of costume changes or things he could do, but he, over the last year, and I'll tell you what, we talked about it last time as well, he's really come into his own, and I thought he had great charisma and great poise, and did a good job at the press conference.
I think so too. Yeah. And also when you have press conference, everything being videotaped, and now that the broadcasted or that the YouTube live streaming, that means all over the world, you know. So he was the focal point of press conference. Yes. And having at this point to have single match program against Okada, it's like a very big deal. Yeah.
No, it's a huge deal, and I think that
huge deal, yes, sir.
You know, Okada has sort of been the lost boy this past year. That's sort of been the story of Okada. And if I guess I took one thing away from Okada's performance, I don't speak Japanese, but body language, tone of his voice, those type of things, I thought that maybe he would, you know, kind of come out of his funk, but he sort of kept the same tone and the same attitude as he was speaking at the press conference.
Sure. And also, he made sure that he get this message across that Jay White Switchblade is not in his league. That was what he was basically saying. With or without championship belt or anything else, that or the place he was placed in the posters, that, yeah, he still will be Rainmaker Kazuchika Okada, but he just does not believe Jay White was worthy opponent of his. That was a message. And it's very realistic, too. He should say something like that. And also, he denied being allied, you know, with Hiroshi Tanahashi at this point. Yes, the major beatdown happened by Bullet Club and all these things. And he got laid down, and of all people, Tanahashi come in and helped him, and he, you know, let him up. They shook hands. Oh, they did a couple of, you know, high spots too. But he was asked questions. Well, you got up, and you shook hand with Hiroshi Tanahashi. Does that mean that you are teaming up or allies, or that's in the same side or same page with Tanahashi now? He clearly denied it. He is on his own. So he has his spot, like right in between babyface and heel, sort of. Like his own position. Kind of Stone Cold or Rock, you know? Or any complicated superstar, Triple H, Shawn Michaels. You know, one night he can be in a little bit of a babyface side, and the other storyline, another storyline comes in, and he can be a little bit of babyface side helping other. You know, it's better to have more complicated story, and he should be on his own. He can go either way. You know what I'm saying?
He's not the same wrestler or the same person, but it sort of reminds me of the position that Kevin Nash's Diesel was in like 95, 96.
Okay, going against Shawn Michaels sometimes.
And Bret Hart sometimes. And yeah, sometimes was kind of leading the fans, and other times he was against them. And I think, it is a very complicated, in-depth storyline. And I think by design, it causes some confusion, which I think kind of what Diesel did at the time.
Which is okay, because now that the New Japan world, New Japan fans are so much like WWE Universe, you know, not really like hardcore fans like you and I been brought up, but they only watch New Japan products, okay? Therefore, they only know how to react to New Japan kind of storyline. For instance, a little bit off the line, but Chris Jericho denying that Naito, no way, will be his opponent at the Tokyo Dome. He's denying, right? And New Japan went ahead and announced the title match today. On Twitter, that the wrestling fans are mad that Chris Jericho running away from his opponent. It's like, that's like wrestling 101, right? Wrestling 101 meaning that Chris Jericho telling people at the press conference right after the post-match interview, no way he'll, you know, face Naito. He already made Naito famous back in January. If you want to have match at the Tokyo Dome, go find someone else. I already made you famous. No way, no rematch for Naito, not all this. So new fans, like a WWE Universe, like New Japan World type audience, they get angry. You know, Chris Jericho, IWGP champion, IWGP Intercontinental champion, running away from his opponent. Oh God, it's like genuinely being angry at Chris Jericho. This is such a wrestling 101 heel, don't you think?
Well, I'm glad to see there's a reaction like that, because my initial reaction when Chris Jericho said that after after Power Struggle in the post-match press conference.
Yeah, post-match,
I thought for sure that we would see some sort of angle or something that led to the match. But instead, it was just announced. And I think for some people, they were like, I thought expected, Naito or someone to do something to make Jericho want the match. But maybe that's still to come.
No, this is still, of course, New Japan announcing the lineup. New Japan announcing the title match, IWGP Intercontinental title match, Chris Jericho against Naito. New Japan's announcing it is step two. And they will have solo press conference, just Jericho and Naito coming weeks. Yes. Not this press conference today, but they will have another press conference. Well, the Sugabayashi chairman said that we will have to have another conference involving Chris Jericho and Naito, that the New Japan has right to announce, New Japan and title committee have rights to, right to announce title match. Therefore, Chris Jericho must face Naito. Very good storyline. And now Chris Jericho at this point, well, maybe like another 2 weeks or so, he will be denying and refusing it, rejecting it, I'm not going to face Naito. When the big heel guy say, I'll never have this match, means you will going to watch and have this match. Wrestling 101, okay? as a wrestling, you know, it's like a, this is like a school of, you know, modern storyline wrestling. It's not as, you know, simple just to announce, you know, title match and people buy ticket. You need, you know, a little bit of feeding of new wrestling, a little bit of angle and a little bit of dialogue, you know, each and every week to build this up. You cannot have title match cold. You and I talked about the last episode. You know, like a either teaming up two superstars or had to have a dream match, single match, you know, two superstars facing each other. But you just cannot do it cold. A lot of small building up each and every week to keep the interest. People were talking, you know, we'll be talking about it. Still wrestling 101. Anyway, should we go back to Power Struggle?
Well, let's keep talking about the press conference. Let's finish up the press conference. Obviously, I don't speak Japanese. Did Naito say anything of note? I mean, he ended up the press conference. Did he say anything of note about the match or about Chris Jericho or anything?
He first he comes in and where is Chris Jericho? Okay, and then this is a press conference. And that this wrestling company told all the talent to leave your schedule wide open for this press conference for November 5th. That goes to Chris Jericho. He should have his schedule open for November 5th, Monday. I showed up. He should have been here. Where is Chris Jericho? And also, he cut down a lot of things like he want to sound a little bit more political. Okay. This last tour. The name of the tour was Road to Power Struggle. Right, that was the name of the tour. What they had was not really a road to, you know, Power Struggle. Power Struggle is this Osaka show, okay? And the entire, you know, 3-week tour was called Road to Power Struggle. But what they had was Junior Heavyweight Tag Team Tournament instead. And Road to this entire tour of Road to Power Struggle did not involve Naito or Kenny Omega or Tanahashi or Chris Jericho. See, none of these people appeared the entire tour. Why did they call this tour Road to Power Struggle? Not very honest to our audience or something like that, he said. And why do they call it, you know, Road to Power Struggle? Nothing about it. We just showed up last day of the tour and had our show. And not very good on this New Japan Wrestling Office part or something like that, you know? And also there are wrestlers on the poster who did not appear for the show. Not very good for the audience. Right, because the entire tour, they used the same poster. Kenny Omega's on it, Okada's on it, Naito's on it, and Tanahashi's on this poster. None of those four superstars worked that tour. So he picked on that. And actually, this is a pretty good political, you know, interview, I guess. Does that make sense?
Now, why would he say that? Does that get the office mad? Does he have permission to do that? Is that normal?
Yeah. Of course it's storyline. Of course it's storyline. They want you to think that way. You know? Yeah, cause like, I don't. Cause this is, you know, Naito's very, you know, this basic storyline interview. Naito does not trust New Japan office. How's that? Being Triple H, like in '90s, you know, being Shawn Michaels, like, it's a little bit more like a Bret Hart interview in late '90s. You know, like he has problem with what this office does.
So he's sort of kind of doubling down on the character that he's had. He sort of got away from it, I guess, because, you know, I guess he's been sort of simmering, waiting to get back with Chris Jericho. So now they're dialing back up the disrespect.
And also he is very outspoken, an outspoken person as a character, you know. He's a leader of the puck and leader of this certain faction. And this Los Ingobernables group is the type of people this New Japan office cannot handle. How's that? NWO, you know? Yeah, faction.
So, no surprise, after getting hit with a crutch, it's going to be Kushida and Ishimori for the IWGP Junior Heavyweight Championship.
Yeah, they were the first two at the press conference, yeah.
Fairly straightforward.
They had the three pair, Kushida and Ishimori, first scene. Second part, Okada and Jay White. And the third part, main event of this press conference, it was going to be Chris Jericho and Naito. But not having Chris Jericho was part of the storyline too. Chris Jericho refused to appear. He went home to America.
So the other thing, I guess, people are actually, I guess because they're wrestling fans and we need something to complain about. Everyone is upset, not everyone, but there are pockets of Twitter that are upset about the IWGP Junior Tag Team title match because you've got the winners of the tournament, Roppongi 3K, challenging for the titles against Desperado and Kanemaru. But then in there, you've got Takagi and Bushi, who didn't win the tournament. Right? You know, I think a lot of people are sort of surprised that Takagi and Bushi are in there.
Yeah, Bushi and Shingo Takagi did not make the final, or did make a final, but did not win that tag team tournament thing. Why are they worthy of being championship at the Tokyo Dome? Is that it?
Yeah,
the logic?
That is correct.
Yeah. But that's also wrestling reaction fans 101. You know, this is like a reaction. They very much calculated that kind of reaction. That would make Bushi and Takagi even bigger heels. Yeah.
You know, I look at it this way. I get sometimes the frustration with WWE booking because sometimes things can get dropped or things don't always make sense or follow a linear storyline. But by and large, New Japan follows through with what they promise. And usually things almost invariably, unless there's outside circumstances, have a logic and that thread that goes through, the narrative thread that goes through the storylines and the matches and the victories and the losses. So, yeah, maybe Takagi and Bushi didn't win, but there's always a reason. So it's like I didn't really understand why people are that upset because New Japan, people should have faith, I guess is what I'm saying. New Japan usually pays off and has a reason.
Yeah, but this is all well designed to make, you know, people get mad at Bushi and Takagi instead of get mad at office, you know? Why do they have, you know, this, you know, title match opportunity? Very much still, I say I don't want to sound so redundant, but wrestling 101 logic, though. Yeah. But before this, though, Hiromu Takahashi being legitimately injured, that they had to really switch plans.
Right.
You know, they were not sure that if they wanted to use Shingo Takagi as a junior heavyweight, he could be a mini macho kind of, you know, smaller heavyweight single competitor instead of tag team puck. But, you know, Hiromu Takahashi being injured legitimately and, don't know how long, you know. So they had to replan a few things in between. And so they put, you know, Shingo Takagi into this situation with Bushi, yeah.
Well, you know, I mean, Takagi is still very new to New Japan, so why not, in order to give him more longevity, don't rush into a singles run, whether it's junior heavyweight or heavyweight. I mean, leave him in the junior tag team, and then, you know, in theory, you know, down the road, he could be a heavyweight tag team and then a heavyweight competitor, and, you know, you can definitely, you know, take your time and get a lot out of him.
But he's more of a single guy for sure.
Yeah, for sure. But this is a good way to start. You know, as we've said before on the show, New Japan fans are just New Japan fans. So there's probably people who have never heard of him or seen him before.
More informed fan knew, you know,
of course,
Shingo Takagi. Yeah.
Yes.
Because he got the big pop at the Tokyo, you know, at the Sumo Palace this last October's, you know, Sumo Palace match when he came in. And unmask, ooh, Shingo Takagi from Dragon Gate. So a lot of fans reacted. So it's good. But the triple threat they say three-way match. You see, triple threat is WWE term, right? So they call it three-way match. And they're trying hard to get this three-way match established, you know? Yeah. And it's hard in Japan, you know? In a tag team three-way match, you can where you can tag any, you know, any teams, any member, you know, any at any time. So it's a different psychology, and it's kind of hard to understand sometimes, you know? But the finish and high spots, of course, finish should be something complicated, you know, that, you know, one team has to be eliminated to outside the ring to have the, you know, right finish in, inside the ring. And they're doing something really, well, you can create a lot of junior, you know, junior heavyweight style, high flying, high spot in this, you know, situation. So yeah, this catered to a different, you know, audience, I guess. Yeah. And maybe you and I are older audience, so enjoy single matches a lot more than this, you know, three-way matches, or let alone tag team three-way matches. But we'll see what happens, how they do, you know, because these guys can move, you know.
Yeah, and they're still
there's Desperado, and Yo, Bushi, Takagi, they all can do a lot of things in ring.
Yeah, I mean, they had a decent match at Power Struggle, and I'm sure if given time at the Tokyo Dome, you know, they could do some really cool stuff. So I'm not disappointed, yeah, but it's just kind of funny.
Yo, yeah, Sho and Yo, that Roppongi 3K team, they won the tournament. So they're the tournament champion. And the ones who have the championship, you know, championship belt, junior heavyweight IWGP tag team champions, Kanemaru and Desperado, so those are two winners of tournament. That will, I believe this time Bushi and Takagi will go over on this one and get the title. So three teams are going to be equal now. Maybe. Does that make any sense?
Yeah, no, it makes sense.
Yeah, because tag team champion Kanemaru and Desperado and Sho and Yo are the tournament winners. So you have two champions in the ring and one underdog. To elevate Bushi and Takagi, this is the match.
Yeah, I mean, one would think that they would win the championship. One would think.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then in the 2019 would be, this is their program, you know? Yeah. Junior heavyweight division, yeah.
So well, there's still some people unaccounted for January 4th, including the Guerrillas of Destiny, just a lot of people just generally speaking in the Bullet Club. Also, the tag team titles, you know, they haven't been with Guerrillas of Destiny. I mean, could we see, you know, the Killer Elite Squad come back? What do you think could happen with, and obviously we have the Never title. There's some other things that need to fall into place for January 4th.
Right, right, because Hirooki Goto won the title back, and he announced that he wanted Ibushi for his first challenger, and Ibushi refused, you know, and so the storyline is ongoing, you know, because Ibushi against Goto in single on paper, not so strong, huh?
Yeah, not so much.
Ibushi should, yeah, because Kota Ibushi should be put in a higher position in the card, it seems. You know, and also Never title, you know, Never championship belt is not really what Ibushi wants right now, obviously.
No, I think it could drag Ibushi down.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So it has to have reason. But they won't do these interviews with no reason. So there should be a title match. I mean, there should be a storyline coming up, you know? Yeah.
Although I will say this, given Ibushi's unusual persona, you know, you could see him as the Never Open Champion and then challenging, you know, maybe someone, you know, and hear me out, you know, because he's always interested in new challengers. He's here, he's there, he's jumping off a car. He's, you know, he's doing all these crazy, unusual things. You know, you could see him Never Weight Champion and him taking it to the next level of interpreting what that title means and facing junior heavyweights, maybe they bring in a giant or someone of unusual size for him to wrestle and just sort of Ibushi the never open weight title. That could be entertaining.
Open weight and like open to anybody.
Yeah.
Yeah. At any time.
Yeah, you could see Ibushi taking that title and just doing weird stuff with it.
Probably, yeah. Yeah, because Omega being single in a program, that would leave Ibushi, you know, kind of alone there, you know, so he needs a little bit something. Yeah. See what happens.
Yeah, it's not the worst idea, I guess.
Yeah, right. But also, you need to keep Never title alive. And also, since now that the Hirooki Goto has it, you know, there should be some plan for Goto, obviously.
I do like Taichi, by the way. I don't know, we haven't really talked much about him, but I do like him. He's just different.
Oh, Taichi?
Yeah.
Okay.
He's not like the greatest wrestler or anything, but I think he's got a great presence, and I like the way he carries himself.
And he's the only one with, you know, female valet, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, probably. Yeah. So there should be if there's a program between Ibushi and Taichi and Goto or somebody like that, and that would elevate those two.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
Well, we will see what happens. Any thoughts on Power Struggle?
Power Struggle. Oh, this is like a 5-match card. You know, there's a lot of matches, like almost like a 9-match, 10 matches, right? Couldn't come, but the 5 matches, you know, British heavyweight championship match, you know, Tomohiro Ishii against Minoru Suzuki. When you see on the Ishii against, you know, Minoru Suzuki, you know it's going to be just beating the heck out of each other type of match.
And it was.
Yeah. And even escalated version of it. And Ishii beating, you know, Minoru Suzuki 2 matches in a row, that elevated him. You know,
it really has. It really has. You didn't see
Suzuki in single matches. Very, very hard.
People, you didn't really see Ishii on Suzuki's level, and now you do.
Yeah, 2 single matches in a row. Yes. And putting him over, you know, Suzuki, Minoru Suzuki putting Ishii over clean 2 times in a row. They both matches on tapes. In England, in the UK, British heavyweight title match. Back in Japan, in the big, you know, stage Power Struggle match in Osaka, 2 single matches in a row. So that really elevated Ishii, though. I guess we use this word elevating somebody too much today, but that's what it looked like, right? And also, there was a Super Junior Heavyweight tournament final, Sho and Yo Roppongi 3K. Going over, that'll establish worthy opponent. You know, the tournament winner going against tag team champions, you know, next month. So that is the program. And Zack Sabre Jr. against Naito. And during the course of this 2018, Naito already lost 2 single matches against Zack Sabre Jr., including G1 tournament match, and everybody knew that Zack Sabre already won 2 times, so this is Naito's turn. But still, they had equal match, you know, very special looking match, because Zack Sabre Jr. works very different from anybody else, you know, a long, tall guy, skinny guy, but he has over 1,000 submission holds and doesn't work like anybody, and he's very special. So it was good single match, very good single match. Losing to Naito doesn't necessarily hurt Zack Sabre Jr. either, because Naito is a superstar, right?
Well, and that's kind of what I thought about the main event. I thought that even though Evil lost, I thought that elevated him.
Oh, that was Evil's single best match in his career.
Yes.
At this point, just like what Jericho said, he made Night, you know, Evil famous. Yes, he did. He did make Evil famous. And I guess Chris Jericho himself was pretty happy about the match. This is called classic match. And they don't call me GOAT for nothing. GOAT could be translated into a very new wrestling term in Japan, you know, G-O-A-T, you know, greatest of all time. But he said it a couple, three times, so write it down kind of thing, the Japanese press, GOAT, GOAT, GOAT. So I think that would be a new keyword, you know. Greatest of all time, but it's kind of new to them. I'm not new to us. And it's a new phrase. It's not a catchphrase, he said. So that's catchphrase. Okay.
Yes, that's wrestling.
Yeah, yeah, he
that's
said
wrestling
that. Yeah,
101.
Yeah, that's wrestling 101 that Chris Jericho said. It's not a catchphrase. It is catchphrase. You know, don't come in means come on in, right? So I made you famous, yes. And no rematch for Naito. Yes, there is a rematch for Naito. So, Chris Jericho is very classic that way.
And, right. Well, it's just like the it's like the verbal version of when a heel is in the corner and he puts his hands out and shakes his head, no, no, no. And of course, that's a sign for the babyface to kick the heel in the gut or attack the attack the heel.
Yeah. But we gotta give this 48-year-old rock and roll superstar Chris Jericho a lot of credit on this one. Not because I know him, but he really brings in A game, you know, that this 49-year-old, maybe we shouldn't keep saying this, but this 48-9-year-old Chris Jericho does two lion salt, you know, that Enziguri to springboard triangle drop kick. He even flew off the apron onto the table on the floor, breaks table. He takes big bump, willing to do so. You know what I'm saying?
Well, and you can tell by, and I mean this as a compliment, you know, you can tell by Chris Jericho's body that he's doing this all naturally without any substances that may need to be tested. So, I mean, you think about that. He's 48. He's had main evented WrestleMania. He's had ladder matches. He's had, you know, he's wrestled, you know, the cruiserweight style for a while. You know, he's had a very physical career. And here he is at 48, naturally doing all this stuff. He makes it look easy, but that can't be easy.
Yeah, when he needs to, he brings in A game for sure. You know, when he needs to have a classic match, yes, he will bring classic match. It's very interesting, you know, that very confident, and also he's competing with all the critics or something. That goes to you, that goes to me also, almost. That, hey, that's like Chris Jericho is showing us, this is how we do it. That they don't call me best in the world for nothing, you know, or the greatest of all time for nothing. This is how we do it.
Not only has he had great matches and storylines and still has been compelling in 2018 into 2019, but he's been an amazing businessman. You know, he appeared on a WWE show this year. He had his cruise, which was sold out. He sold out a freaking cruise ship. And by all accounts, everyone had an
very
awesome time. So, he's an amazing performer, but as great as he is as a performer, he might even be a better businessman. And that's saying something.
And also, he had over 50 world tours, you know, live with Fozzy. Not just within U.S. and Canada, but he went to Europe and other places, and he had over 50 live shows as a rock and roll singer. He's like, oh, wow. And also, what is he? That the head of this his own podcast network now?
Yeah.
Yeah. And also, he has his own reality show with his kids.
Yeah, Chris Jericho, really smart businessman. Really smart.
Yeah. So I tried to listen to this New Japan World Pro, this, you know, on the live streaming, both in Japanese commentary with Masahiro Chono and also Kevin Kelly's, you know, that the broadcasting, that they were both selling it, you know, like dominated for three decades, every promotion in the world, Mexico, Japan, WCW, WWE, now New Japan, has his own podcast network, Hollywood, frontman for his own world touring rock and roll bands. They got this and this and this. Oh my gosh, it's not really lie. It's kind of true, right? So sort of like a reinventing himself kind of thing is pretty much true. And kind of a big deal, huh?
A very big deal.
Very big deal, yeah. It's like, we are not here to put Chris Jericho over strong, but all these things are true, you know? And he still does this crossbody, the lion salt, you know, enzigiri, the back elbow off the top rope, and that make you think that the first lion, you know, that the walls of Jericho, strong, it's almost like a false finish, and Evo really fight his way to the rope, and second walls of Jericho into lion tamer. So it's got, wow, he still had a few more things in his pocket, you know, and it did the lion tamer. I mean, from the walls of Jericho into lion tamer, it did look like serious finish, didn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So it's like, see, it's like, oh wow, okay, you know, it's like not a average everyday match. It's like still came up with finish that looked very special match, you know. So I'm sure this was Evo's very special match, you know. Yeah, it's making somebody famous. Yes, I guess that guy did. And yeah, that's called classic match. Yeah, we have to admit that was classic match.
So one of the things I don't know that we've talked about is the transition with you have now the BGOGs, the BCOGs, the Bullet Club Original Gangsters, with the Tongans and Jay White and everyone, and you're seeing the transition out of the Elite. What are your thoughts on 2019? Do you think New Japan is going to maintain momentum? Should they need to go forward without the Young Bucks, without Cody Rhodes, maybe even without Hangman Page?
Was that from the same question from this our last episode?
Yeah, I mean,
we have to remind the listeners out there.
Yeah.
The contract signing time is coming up, if that's what you're saying. You know, January, everybody signed new contract. Every talent, every, you know, guys under contract, it's always 1 year contract with New Japan. You know? And we said something, yeah. Some of the American wrestlers are almost interchangeable, you know? You will need Kenny Omega, of course, you know, you will need Young Bucks probably. And you will need Cody Rhodes, and it's guys that are iffy. We talked about, you know, guys like a Hangman Page, or like Mike Elgin, maybe, you know. But you will definitely need guys like Will Ospreay, you know, as long as he's under contract in New Japan. That's the big asset. See, I wasn't sure about Will Ospreay for a while, but he really won me over. That guy is the style of 2020. I'll give you a reason, because the entire generation of new wrestlers, younger wrestlers all over the world, already started emulating Will Ospreay's stuff. You know, he is the leader of a certain style. There were, say, Ricochet and Will Ospreay, right? And the late Vader were critical about, you know, this is no dance, you know, it's way too choreographed, this and this. Yeah, it makes sense for old-fashioned wrestlers, but Ricochet is already signed with WWE and he's pretty much gone. But the Will Ospreay, New Japan will hang on to this guy, and he is somebody very, very special, very special. He is the style of 2020s.
You know, you can draw a line between, you know, so many people emulated Ric Flair, and then they emulated Shawn Michaels, and then they emulated Jeff Hardy. And now, yeah, you're absolutely right about where the line goes next. And it's going to be interesting to see where all of those people who are emulating now take the style in the future.
Two wrestlers with same style. One in Ricochet, already in WWE. Another in New Japan. Was Will Ospreay. This thing will happen worldwide simultaneously. Not necessarily in the same ring, but Ricochet will be doing that in America. Will Ospreay will be doing that with New Japan environment all over the world through live streaming, you know. and he will be, Will Ospreay will be one of the very focal point of Madison Square Garden show in April too, I believe. And well, Kenny Omega.
That was one last thing I wanted to talk about is, you know, for New Japan, you're going to have, relatively speaking, not for WWE, but for New Japan, you're going to have a pretty quick turnaround between major, major shows. Wrestle Kingdom and then the Madison Square Garden show. And a lot of times Wrestle Kingdom leads to next year's Wrestle Kingdom, but now they've got a lead to whatever's happening in April.
Yeah, and also there's some language barriers there too, right?
Right.
You know, you will need help from ROH, and maybe Chris Jericho may have some role, you know, in you saw the photos, right, from the cruising.
Yes.
Chris Jericho already was giving hint to the worldwide. Three world heavyweight champions on the boat together and work together. Three world heavyweight champion, meaning IWGP champion Kenny Omega, Impact world heavyweight champion Johnny Impact, was his name?
Yeah, John Morrison.
Yeah, John Morrison, but the Johnny Impact now. And also ROH world heavyweight champion, the Macho Man guy, what?
Jay Lethal.
Yeah. So those three world heavyweight champion photographed together, and Chris Jericho put that up on his Instagram, big photos. So he doesn't do things that doesn't mean anything, right? So it has to be some message that he may not be in WWE bound any longer, you know? He is a type of person, type of performer, and who has a status that he can call up Vince McMahon's cell phone, he can talk to Vince McMahon. But he's more like today's Roddy Piper and Macho Man Randy Savage style, that Chris Jericho probably doesn't need WWE, and next time he'll go back to WWE will be probably 2030 or something. You know what I'm saying? Next 3 to 5 years, he will be the major force outside of WWE, and he is individually handling this thing, that he can be just individually all by himself be equal to WWE out there or something. You know what I'm saying?
Well, with Don Callis working with Impact, you know, there's been rumors that maybe Chris Jericho will do something with Impact, but whether he does or not, if Impact gets to be involved in a Madison Square Garden show, that's going to be about the biggest thing that has happened to Impact about ever. That'll be a big boost if it happens.
Three different champion. So it's introduced on Instagram, Chris Jericho's Instagram, that these three world heavyweight champions, the people have to learn that there are other world heavyweight champions besides your WWE or something.
Well,
right. IWGP is, you know, heavyweight champion is a world champion.
Yes, the IWGP is a world champion. And certainly ROH has been defended in many spots, and sure, why not? That's a world championship. Impact.
But the ROH world heavyweight champion will be involved in Madison Square Garden show.
Oh, absolutely, and it should.
Now that with Chris Jericho's political, you know, power, that Johnny Morrison, Johnny Impact, this is real, that his name now?
Yeah, the gimmick is that he, whatever promotion he's with, he uses their name and his name and their promotion, or vice versa.
All right, Johnny Impact as Impact World Heavyweight Champion will be added to Madison Square Garden. How's that?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
I think it's a valid point.
Yeah, so that's the direction it's shifting onto. Tickets already sold out, and the night when they have Madison Square Garden, the night before WrestleMania, they are running show head-to-head against NXT Impact. I mean, NXT TakeOver. So that's a direct opposition. Is it a direct opposition, meaning that, it's the same weekend as WrestleMania, but the same night, you know, same New York City, they are competing from like just a few miles apart. NXT TakeOver against Madison Square Garden.
You know, I was thinking about this the other day, and this ties in, I think, to your point. You know, between the growth of New Japan and the work that Chris Jericho has done and Cody Rhodes and the Elite and the rise of Kenny Omega and sort of their entrepreneurial attitude, plus you have, you know, things like even the Saudi Arabia shows and things happening with the Evolution with in WWE and what have you. 2018 has been, and probably going into 19, this has been probably the most significant year in pro wrestling probably since, probably coming up on 20 years, probably since the end of WrestleMania 17.
Or since, night, you know, the Raw against Nitro, Monday Night War.
Yeah.
Yeah. And these, just like you said, these Kenny Omega, the John Impact, the ROH Heavyweight Champion, and Chris Jericho's presence, all these pieces of puzzles have to come together at some point. You know, all these pieces of puzzle, you know, and then the people will witness it, you know. There is no WCW, but this is it, probably, this year, you know, in this era.
Well, I think that's a good spot to wrap this up, to see when all these points come together. That's a great stopping point. I have got to run. I've got to go do some stuff.
Okay.
But I think we've got some good stuff. We'll keep our eye on everything that's happening, and we'll probably do a show here again in the next few days or so. How can people connect with you?
Fumihiko Daio, FumihikoDayo on Twitter. Or you can also find me, Fumi Saito, on Facebook.
And I am Jim Valley, J-I-M-V-A-L-L-E-Y, on Twitter and on Facebook. Until next time.
So long from Tokyo. Thank you.